0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another interesting night for the newly Euro qualified Scotland team. It might only be a friendly, but it is the small matter of an away game against France. Will Steve Clark make changes after securing a place at Euro 2024 on Sunday? And elsewhere, Philippe Clement is his first press conference as Rangers manager, saying he's ready to go through walls to get success. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Andy Halliday and Gordon DL. Have you got your lederhosen ready? You got your currency, your passport, looked out, everything all set for next summer?
I've been ready to go for the last 2 weeks. I don't know what happened there. But I've got to say, I left this studio on Thursday night at 10 o'clock. We'd still to qualify for the Euros, and Rangers still had to name a new manager by Tuesday. I'm sitting here. Both have been answered. Delighted for Scotland, you've got to say. Congratulations to everyone involved, from the manager, coaching staff, to players, everybody, and the Tartan Army, who gave them such loyal backing. And interesting days ahead with the new Rangers manager.
Yeah, Andy, we said this in the last couple of days. There was a time when international breaks could be quiet. This one saw Euro qualification for Scotland and eventually a new Rangers manager after 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, far from it. And, you know, certainly when it comes to Scotland, I've noticed the formula. 3 years I've been doing this show, Gordon. Two times I've seen Scotland qualify for a European Championship.
With Scotland getting good.
So I must be the good luck charm. But yeah, Philippe Clement, obviously the new Rangers manager. Interesting to hear the words from his press conference today. He'll certainly want to outlast the 10 years of his previous two managers. So it'll be interesting times for Rangers and Philippe Clement. But Scotland off to Euro 2024.
That is a fair point. He has had it lucky. Do you remember the slog that used to be international breaks on Incredible. This show? It used to be a tough
I've never experienced it.
You've seen a never. Few of them.
Yeah, and look, we could have probably qualified a lot earlier if someone had just taken the chance and given this guy a couple of caps. You know what I mean? God, I could have been sitting next to Wilson one cap and Andy Halliday cap. Two caps.
And remember, it used to always end in calls about kids are playing too much PlayStation and public parks need to have their gates opened, all of which still might be true, by the way. But that was the road that always used to go down. Why are we not any good? It feels a bit different
you,
these days.
You know, and you said it off air, that I wasn't a great... Didn't get me excited international football, I've got to say. It wasn't top of my list. But I've certainly turned around now. I enjoyed the Euros, enjoyed the shows that we used to go amongst the supporters. And I am so looking forward to... the summers as well. I don't know what's happening. That's malfunctioning here. Is it me they're trying to cut off, or is this a deliberate ploy? Am I not sounding too good tonight?
It's because you only admitted you were a bandwagon Scotland fan.
Hold on, you've got to stay professional, right? Listen to me. I'm going to explain this something to you.
Yeah, I know what you've got to say.
Just because you can hear something really strange happening in your headphones, I can hear it too. Yeah. The listeners might not be able to hear that, so just shut up and carry on.
I'm interacting
and act professional.
With the listeners.
They might have no idea what you're talking about.
Look, I had a good...
I
personally love your honesty. I
know that we keep getting weird noises in these headphones, right? But just ignore it.
It's very weird.
Just ignore it.
And the listeners want to know what's happening
they
with
don't.
It. My different facial expressions, I think that would be the way to describe it. But
can the listeners hear that? Someone tweet me. All I keep hearing is like Stephen Mill and then like random bits of music. But
it's putting me off.
I have no idea if the listeners can hear that. So let's crack on. 0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. So let's hear from you again. Two main topics clearly dominating, but if you can find something else, you're more than welcome. Rangers fans, this is the first time we're going to hear from Philippe Clement on this show. So what did you make of what he had to say today? I think it was a 32-minute press conference or something like that between him and James Bisgrove. So a lot of ground covered. He was talking about this being a marathon and not a sprint, and can't go and sprint after Celtic, has to just try and find Rangers' own pace and try and claw back that gap. Speaking about, you know, wanting to create a mentality of going through walls for the team. I know some of this stuff can be sound bites and we have to always wait and see how it transpires. But I wonder, what did you make of what he had to say for the first time. If you're in any doubt, we'll play some of it for you. Get your thoughts in on his appointment. You've now had an extra couple of days to maybe hear a bit from him, read a bit more about him, assess what you like and what you don't like. So pick up that phone, please, 01419511025. And Scotland tonight, a nice, easy, friendly away in France. Yeah, even if they rest players, it's going to be some ask. So what are you thinking tonight? What about the Scotland team? We don't play many friendlies now because of the Nations League. Is this the chance for rotation? Will we see some of the players that consistently go along and don't get much game time getting a chance? Or is this just too big a challenge to do that? What do you think Steve Clarke's team will look like? You know we love that game on this show. You predict the team, Gordon predict the team, Andy predict the team, and we'll see who gets it closest. So 01419511025. That's the number you need. Rangers, Scotland or anything else, pick up that phone. Thank you to the 49 people who've now tweeted saying they too could hear.
There you go. There you go. You may as well be honest, Andy.
Yeah, exactly.
There we are. Anyway, right, I'll tell you what, let's speak to our reporter Gabriel, because he was all across the press conference from Ibrox for Philippe Clement today. Gabriel, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Loud and clear, Gordon.
It was all, it's always like when one of our big clubs appoints a new manager and unveils them, as the phrase goes, it's always like a big kind of day. It's a big deal. Everyone turns up. There's a lot going on, and pictures and introductions. And like we said, I think it was over half an hour, the press conference. So what did you take away from it?
Yeah, it was really interesting, Gordon. We met the 49-year-olds in that famous blue room inside Ibrox this afternoon, as you say, officially unveiled to the media for the first time, as the saying goes these days. He was very clear with his messaging. He seemed very level-headed, had a determined look on his face. He said that he understands the scale of task at hand. He promised to bring attacking football to the club whilst tightening things up at the back. But the most important thing to him is winning. He says that's who he is as a person. He even said he wants to win every single competition that they're in. Of course, Rangers still in all four. The fans have been starved of success recently in Govan. They are desperate to return to the summit of Scottish football. And when asked about this year, the Belgian was realistic with his targets, but he does believe success this campaign is very much possible, despite starting behind rival Celtic.
To be 7 points behind, that's clear. No. It's not an advantage, of course, to be 7 points behind. That's clear. No, I think one thing, and that's maybe the major thing for the next weeks, maybe months, we will see, that we need to be focused on ourselves. For me, a season is like a marathon, and it's of no use to look at this guy that is running in front of you all the time and then try to chase it with one big sprint and don't have the legs anymore to do the marathon and to kill yourselves. No, you need to focus on yourself, on your pace, to that you hire that pace, that it's faster than before, that it's better than before, and that you can do all this marathon. It's not about the next 2-3 games. It's about a lot of games this season in a lot of competitions. For me, there are 4 very important pillars in the way I want to see a team. I want to create here in the club the best technical team, the best tactical team, the best physical team, the best mental team of the league. That's my ambition. I know if you do that, then results follow. But it's quite some work.
Yeah, really high standards Clement has, as pointed out by those 4 points. Clearly, he's been the champion of his league 3 times. A few other interesting points he made. He's still to decide on his backroom staff. He wants to give people currently working an opportunity. That includes Stephen Davis, or Stefan van der Heyden is expected to join Clement here in Glasgow. He says James Tavernier will be kept on as captain at the moment, so he's no reason to change it. He said, importantly, everyone will be given a clean slate. It doesn't matter if they're Scottish, if they're Belgian, if they're 32 years old, if they're 18 years old, if they've come through the academy, or if they've been bought for big money. He says everyone has a fresh start. And you talked about it, Gordon. Clement said this is a club he'll run through a wall for. He wants his players to do that too. And for him, the most important thing is to instill a winning culture throughout the club, top to bottom, whilst getting supporters back on side.
I told you already I want to win everything. That's the mentality I have when I step into a building. I want to give this mentality also towards the dressing room and create more and more winners in this dressing room. So we're going to work really hard to get as fast as possible silverware and to make this story step by step bigger and bigger. How fast it comes, you never know. I don't have this crystal ball. I'm not a magician also that suddenly can totally change players. But I know if we can work long time with players that we can make them better. I think with this squad, when they get more confidence and the fans go behind them, it's a major point in this club. If you have these 50,000 people behind you, this gives so much energy. You become so much stronger in every sense as a football player. So it's very important to create this synergy also, again, between fans and the players. It's going to be one of the major points for the next couple of weeks. And it's about me explaining this to the players and doing the right things on the pitch. And I hope that the fans understand that and they really know how much power they have also when they go behind players in a positive way.
You always hear from new managers, Gabriel, but it's also interesting on the unveiling day, if you like, because you get the chance usually to speak to the guy that sacked the previous manager and appointed this one, in this case, James Bisgrove, CEO of Rangers. What was the main talking points from what he had to say?
Yeah, that was really interesting, Gordon, because it's such a rare appearance for someone like Bisgrove to appear in front of us. Now, he, along with the board, have been criticised by the fan base over recent months, and you can see why many may be disappointed. This is their fourth manager in 2 years, but the 39-year-old knows he has to get this appointment right. He told us why he felt Clement was the right man for the job.
I think we recognise that continuity and stability is going to be absolutely key to this football club. This is the 19th manager we've had in 151 years, and we went through a process that was multi-layered and undertook a lot of due diligence and took our time with the board to get this appointment right. We had a very clear vision in terms of the characteristics that we wanted the next main Rangers manager to have, and the board were unanimous that Philippe was the outstanding candidate in that process. So absolutely, this is a long-term appointment, but you know, Rangers is about winning, and you know, there's a lot of football to be played this season. I know that Philip and the squad will be giving it everything that they've got for this to be a successful season. But absolutely, we are looking forward to working with Philip in the short, medium, and long term.
So, yes, Gabriel, what else was on the? I know there was, you know, Rangers fans, quickly before we take some calls, will be wondering what the latest is with the search for a sporting director.
Yeah, Bisgrove was asked about that a lot as well. The board, of course, criticised for giving too much responsibility in the transfer market to Michael Beale. Beale led the recruitment policy in the summer, which was seen as a key failing in his tenure at the club. But it seems now that Bisgrove and other board members are keen on appointing a sporting director sometime soon. He said it might be a few weeks, a few months, but it is a live conversation they were having. Interestingly, he said that the new manager will have a big input on his appointment as well. So many Rangers fans have been asking for that. It seems they're going to get their wish.
Thank you very much. Gabriel giving us the latest on Rangers press conference today. You two listening intently. There was no more surprise noises there for you. You okay?
No, we're recovered. Fine. Brilliant.
Okay. Right. 01419511025. We are going to speak to Darren, who's a Rangers fan. He is coming up next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
01419511025. Darren is a Rangers fan. Just before the break in the five travel bulletins we gave you, Darren, we were hearing from Philippe Clement. What are your early impressions?
Well, it's good to be with you eventually. kudos to whoever's pressing the button tonight. I'm going into it with an open mind. I'm quite excited about it. I'm happy with the appointment. But the one thing I'm disappointed in and I can see why, is the insistence to kind of say that Tav's going to remain captain. You'll know that maybe the other week I spoke to you about saying that I wasn't overly happy with Tav going to be remaining captain. And I thought that we needed a fundamental change from top to bottom. And it's a shame that that's not really happening. He is an asset, and I think he's a brilliant player for us. But I think it's maybe time for fresh thinking. And also with that, I hope there's a change in formation. All the previous managers have all went for like one up top and everything like that. If we're going to see really exciting attacking play, this one up top nonsense just needs to stop. I think we need exciting two up top, batter the doors away. And even as hard as it may sound, we need an ethos like Ange brought to Celtic, just a whole go for it kind of thing. You know, we've sat back too often. I think it's now time to kind of change things fundamentally at Rangers, and hopefully Clement's the man to do that.
I know it's a very common debating point, Darren, about, you know, would the new manager change the captain? But do you seriously think he was going to come in, see James Tavernier in one training session? Do you seriously think he was going to come in, see James Tavernier, you know, one day, and then announce that he'd changed the captaincy? Yeah, it feels like that would be so drastic, wouldn't it? And probably verging on unfair on James Tavernier, because he won't have had the chance to assess him.
Football manager. Maybe I play too much football manager and change my captains weekly, right? But that's maybe that's on me. But I do think that a part of it should be, hopefully, maybe this will galvanise Tav, maybe this will send them back to the Tav of old, you know, that did focus a bit more on defending, can still go forward and deliver for us. So I'm keeping an open mind, and I know why he's done it, and I don't want to shake the apple cart, but I hope it's not a sort of dead set, I'm not going to change everything, because if it's starting like that, I don't want him to be in a situation where he's nailed down on not making changes for the sake of making changes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's a point we've debated for what feels like about 5 years now in terms of James Tavernier and the captaincy. One thing I always say is, you know, there's so many different forms of leadership, and he's not the most vocal, he's not the most demanding, I would say, compared to other players that I played with. But what I will say is he does set standards every single day. And one thing I'll also say, he's a player that never, ever hides. And he's had more criticism than anyone in that Rangers team. And week after week, he's available. He's never injured. He's always on the training pitch. He's always putting his performances first. And don't get me wrong, has he been consistent this season? No, I don't think he has. But some of the numbers he's been putting forward over the last 2, 3, 4 years has been incredible. The overall picture, I don't think he's been a part of enough winning Rangers sides. Obviously, the Scottish Cup last year and the league title a couple of years ago, fair enough, but certainly not enough. But for me, I think a lot of criticism that goes to his way is extremely unfair.
See, just though, Gordon, I feel like this today, like kind of what I said to Darren, I feel like this is still a slightly different debate. Andy's right. We've done the whole, is James Tavernier a suitable Rangers captain, over and over again on the phone lines. But that to me seems still, that seems like a different debate from, should Philippe Clement have announced that he's taken the armband off him on day one? That's the relevant debate today. And it just feels to me like that was never going to happen. Even if you do think down the line, that was never happening today,
never,
was it?
Never. No new manager would have walked into that building and stripped Tavernier of the captaincy. First,
without even seeing him.
Exactly. Firstly, that would have been a bad, bad move indeed, especially in your first day. It'll take time. He may go down that road that Darren's talking about. He may look at Tavernier. Now, I find it very strange because I'm a big Tavernier fan. I think he's been brilliant for Rangers. His return has been incredible. Andy touches on, has he had the same impact at the beginning of this season? Probably not up to his standards, but he still chips in there, let's be honest about that. Whether he decides to take the captaincy off him and maybe, you know, just give him a new lease of life or whatever, I don't really know. And I don't think it's that important. Because I think when you're a team and you're a good team that's winning, everybody's a captain within the group. Everybody's there. Everybody's working hard. Everybody's encouraging each other. So I think Tavernier gets a real rough ride of this. I really do.
Generally speaking, before we get bogged down on that one issue, what were your first impressions of Philippe Clement, having heard them?
He said the things that I think that every Rangers fans want him to say. The only thing I will... Look, it's very difficult to come in, new country, a new club, sitting there, your first press conference. The only one I would have really picked up, and, you know, it's a marathon. I know what he's trying to go over there, but if Celtic are sprinting away from you and you're still using it as a marathon, let me tell you, the Rangers fans are going to let them know that it's not a marathon in Scottish football. You've got to be on the sprint. You've got to keep up with Celtic. You're in to bypass them. You're in to challenge them. But I liked a lot of what he said. He's passionate. He's obviously he's come in with a good track record, strong leader. Style of play will be interesting. Will he go more attacking? Will he stick to the usual 4-3-3? Will he play different formations? What type of football is he going to bring? I'm excited to see this.
First impressions, Andy?
Yeah, I thought he spoke well. I thought he said a lot of stuff that you can sort of fall back on and agree with. I think the main statement I took away from it was he said that he wants to play dominant football and win everything. I think the first part of that statement he can control. Obviously now, to the weekend's game against Hibs, he'll be doing what he can in the training pitch to try and stamp down his style, and over the coming weeks try and improve that. In terms of winning everything, he's got a 7-point deficit just now to Celtic. So for me, I don't think Rangers can afford any slip-ups from now till after Christmas. But he's in a unique situation where 2 months after he's been appointed, he's got the opportunity to win the first piece of silverware of the season. Unfortunately for him, he's up against the best team in Scotland at the moment in the semi-final. So it's going to be difficult. I think one thing's for sure, I think he has to get the most out of the current squad just now from now to January.
Yeah, Darren, what else that you've kind of picked up from him impresses you or worries you or whatever? What else have you taken away from what he's had to say and how he's come across?
He's never going to come out and say straight away, oh, we're going to batter Celtic, because no one will. Celtic are still quite a bit away from us, and a whole marathon not sprint thing, I think, is all about managing expectations. I think a lot of Rangers fans do realise that this is a very difficult season even now, and the whole marathon not a sprint thing is definitely a managing expectations thing early on. To be honest, at this rate, if we win that one cup and we kind of keep it respectable, I'll be happy with that and then let him do what he needs to do, because Bale's made a mess of the club. And this is, it's a shame to kind of say we're in yet another period of rebuilding. But if we do enough this season to keep it respectable and walk away with something, that'll be enough for me. But I know it's not going to be enough for a lot of Rangers supporters who think we should be pulling that 6-point gap back straight away.
Look, I throw in the caveat to start, it's fairly obvious you can be brilliant in press conferences and then not be very good at getting football results, or vice versa. So I don't think anyone's trying to say that, you know, the impressions today mean much on the pitch, but it's the first chance you get. It's the first chance to see someone, listen to them, and it's kind of all you've got to go on. Does he seem like quite straight talking, quite stern?
I liked it, Gordon. You know, he picked up on a lot of important things. I think that one of the biggest things, and it certainly is at Rangers, if you can unite the players and the fans together, you've got a better chance going forward. It is a difficult job. I'm a bit surprised that you can't just keep knocking your house down and building it up and saying, well, we'll wait till another 6 months before we move back in. You're in a title race. You've invested a lot of money in the summer. Whether those signings are right or not, Michael Beale, that manager's he's in there for a reason. He's in there to improve these players. You look at Postecoglou, when he walked into the building, he improves players right away. That's part of your remit as a manager. You've got to get in there, work with what you've got to January. Then you will be judged in what you bring in over the transfer windows. But you can't just walk in there and say, tell you what, we've got Hearts in the semi-final. We've got a great chance to go and win a cup. If we win that, we're Rangers Football Club. That'll do us, and we'll build next year again. It doesn't work like that if you're Rangers or Celtic. You've got to be more ambitious and look to go and see this 7-point gap. The manager's been brought in to close that. It's as simple as that. That's the reason he's there. If the Rangers board weren't interested in closing that gap, Michael Beale may as well stay in the building. So I like the way he come about his business here. I liked a lot of things he said. But as you said, it's okay sitting in a press conference speaking, get out in the training pitch, let's see what you're bringing to the club. And I'm sure every Rangers fan will be hoping it's success.
A few things about staffing, Andy. First of all, you know, the interim team is still there. Stephen Davis, Alex Ray, they'll stay for a bit. I don't know how long exactly. Stefan van der Heyden is going to be the number two or part of it by the looks of it. But he did say yesterday as well that, you know, he's keen to bring in a kind of local coach, if you like.
Yeah.
And then above that, James Bisgrove saying a sporting director, technical director is weeks, if not months away.
Yeah, well, you know, Van der Heyden is obviously somebody he's worked with previously, so I thought that was, you know, it was always going to be the case. In terms of someone with local knowledge, I think it's important in terms of early on him getting used to the players and, you know, Glasgow in the building and sort of easing his way in. For me personally, I'd love to see sort of Stephen Davis be running about it still, because he's someone that obviously commands a lot of respect. He knows the players. He's well thought of within the football club and the building. So in terms of the infrastructure of the football club, it's something that I've been big on, and I've been batting that drum that For me, that keeping that continuity between managers and squads, I think is really, really important. I think without a director of football, I think there's too much onus on the board and the manager. So I think that, you know, the news of, you know, the process coming forward to try and appoint a technical director is great. But I still think there's more to come. I still think the recruitment process, you know, whoever's sort of on board with that side of the football club as well, because I think over the last 4, 5, 6 seasons, we keep talking about this rebuild at Rangers, and then 2 months after the transfer window, 60%, 70%, 80% of the players either aren't playing or deemed not good enough. So I think it'll be music to a lot of Rangers players' ears that he's talking about, you know, a clean slate coming in the building, because I don't think a lot of them have done enough to endear themselves to the Rangers fans. So like we said, it's really, really important that Philip Clement from now to January gets the most out of these players and they improve as well.
Thank you, Darren. Brian is on the line. Brian, what's your first impression been of the new manager?
Well, as first of all, hi panel, thanks for letting me on.
Pleasure.
Well, first of all, I agree about the, you know, given the players that are there, you know, the opportunity, you know, the clean slate. The first thing I was asked, with Rangers supporters, my work was after Michael Beale was sacked, was whoever's going to be the manager, he's going to need to work with the players that are no good enough. And basically what I said to them was, well, if the players are no good enough, they're in real trouble. But Michael Beale, the manager's been sacked, so maybe the board thinks that the actual coaching or the system, you know, hasn't worked. Maybe the way Michael was going about his business, just didn't suit. Because if that's not the case, you would as well keep Michael Beale there, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, Gordon, to see what that style looks like. I mean, again, you can say certain things. He says it's going to be possession-based, you know, dominant football. I think we heard one of the Belgian football experts in the last couple of days talking about he used to certainly like his wingers getting in behind. Rangers don't really have any, or that's not an area that they focused on, certainly in terms of recruitment. So going to be very interesting to see what he does. I'm sure you saw the picture he was watching all of the Rangers' previous games on the plane on the way over. It's not my type of in-flight entertainment, I must say. No,
especially that game.
I think it's massive for him with the Rangers fans, because every coach has got their own style. Now, I know that Andy worked under Michael Beale and talks very highly of him. Michael Beale's brand of football bored me, if I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't really see what he was trying to achieve. He came with this great tag about being the wonder coach and what he was going to do, and he was a man behind Gerrard in the training ground, and I was excited to see it, and I didn't see that brand of football. When you compare it to what Postecoglou walked in and achieved at Celtic, right away he made an impact in his fullbacks, the style, the pace of the football. I think this guy's got to do the same, Gordon. I think it's so important he connects with the supporters, because the supporters, in times gone by, we sat in here many a time having phone calls. They were leaving in their droves with 20 minutes to go. Ibrox, they were not impressed. And I remember one day, I think it was under Van Bronckhorst, they were beating Dundee United and the place was empty because they weren't impressed with the style of football. So if you're asking, as much as results are important, we all know that, it's all about winning. I think Rangers need a good brand of football, and hopefully for Rangers supporters, this guy will bring it to them.
It seems like a fine balance, doesn't it, Andy? Because you would take the point, he's going to say, look, I can't do it instant overnight and marathon and all that sort of stuff. But I think Gordon's quite right. Rangers fans will turn up on Saturday wanting to see just something, a sign.
Yeah, but listen, it's going to take time to perfect how he wants them to do. But I still think you can see an initial change. You can see an instant of what they're trying to do. Is it, you know, playing with width? Is it playing with, you know, I think it was Darren the earlier caller playing with two up front. You want to see something different and something that's going to excite the fans and see that there's a plan in place that you can see it's going to improve. And I think I read as well that, you know, you see a lot of success with his stories at Club Bruges and Genk and Monaco, not so much, but his Monaco team, I think, scored the second most goals in the league, only behind PSG. So you see there must be some sort of brand of football there that's attacking, forward thinking. And now we talk about clean slate with players. I would love to see more trust into the academy. I really would. And you see over the last couple of weeks, young Zach Lovelace getting his first start, Ross McCausland coming on in Europe, and I thought making a real positive impact again coming on at St Mirren at the weekend there. So that's another thing for me. Can he implement, can we see a more conveyor belt of youth players coming to the academy into the first team?
Thank you, Brian. I do need to get these two to answer me a question quickly, because I think the Scotland team from France won't be too far away, so don't want to spoil the game. We've been a bit all over the place tonight because of various technical issues, but don't want to spoil the game. So who's going to play tonight?
Oh, Scotland will definitely play.
Which players? Come on, name, give me your 11.
I think there'll be
11. Because usually it's easy, but this is a friendly.
Position each or just the full?
Right, will there be a change in goal? Or is that
I think that it would be fair to give one of the goalkeepers.
Which one?
I'll go Clark.
Okay.
I think he'll go Liam Kelly.
Okay. Right, well, one of you's... I'll just go Angus Gunn, and then one of us will be right.
Okay, I like this.
I'll go with the two wing backs. I think Nathan Parkson and Greg Taylor.
Yeah,
I think it's got to be.
I'm going with that.
Injury
yeah.
wise, right? Okay, yeah, no grumbles there.
I think
sticking with three centre backs.
Yeah, I think Portis will still play.
Right.
I think McKenna and I think Suter. I think maybe give Henry a rest.
Okay, I can see the logic.
Yeah.
I think that's an area I don't think he'll rotate too much at that back three, but I do think Liam Cooper's someone that he showed a lot of trust in the past, so I think Liam Cooper will be the one to come in for Portis, and I think Scott McKenna and Jack Henry will stay.
Okay, right. We've got loads of options after that.
I think two in the midfield tonight. I think they'll play Kenny McLean, he likes him. I think there's a chance that he will start a game. I'd like to see Ferguson getting a start, Gordon. I think since he's went abroad over to Italy, I think he's getting a lot of good reports.
Are you writing these down?
No, really, no.
I want to see if you get them all right.
Right, but I've got a fair mind of what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. So McLean, Ferguson.
Yeah. Gilmore.
Right.
And I think he'll go Christie.
Right.
Off Diggs.
Okay. What so no McGinn, no McGregor.
No, I think none they've done their part. I think they've done their part. I think you look at club football, McGregor as well, playing a lot of games.
Jeez.
I think it's a great opportunity. Look, we don't want to go over there. We're against a real quality side. They'll probably make a few changes. But I think it's worth, see these guys have been great in the fact that they've been a part of this squad. They've not had a lot of game time. They go to the training, they're there all the time, they're travelling with the thing, they're a big part of it. Give them an opportunity.
Right. What are you giving us?
I think he'll go for that sort of box midfield that he's done quite a lot in these type of games. So I think he'll go McTominay, Gilmore, and I agree. I think Lewis Ferguson will come in. I think he's due an opportunity. I think the form that he's been on in Bologna. And Kenny McLean's another one that he's trusted in a lot of these games. So I think Kenny McLean will be another change. Up front, I think he'll go Che Adams. I think this type of game, it'll be more on the counter-attack than sort of playing it up to Lyndon Dykes to feed off him. So I think Che Adams will get the nod up front.
We'll find out next. 0141 951 1025.
This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025 to join in. We've heard from Philippe Clement for the first time as Rangers manager. More to come from him later in the show. I wonder what your early impressions are about style of play, about technical directors, about aims for this season, about the captaincy, all of the stuff that was covered. Keep them coming. Scotland play France tonight, so let's take a look at that as well. And anything else that's out there, pick up that phone. Don't forget, just like we did last night, every caller who makes it on air tonight, all you need to do is phone in and make a point to the guys. Try and make it a good one. But as long as you make your point to the guys, you go into the draw for a pair of tickets to Ayr Racecourse's Bookmakers Race Day on Saturday the 4th of November. It's got 7 jumps races, hours of live entertainment as well. And the great thing about that is there is still a restraining order that stops Gordon DL attending any social functions in the greater Ayrshire area from his time as Ayr manager, so you can't possibly bump into him. So that should sway you in the right direction. You can head over to ayrracecourse.co.uk for all of these details, and I'll do the draw at the end of tonight's show. You can't even deny it because, it's true.
It's 100% true.
So there we go. You will be safe in the knowledge that he can't possibly ruin your evening. I mean, I heard you were out at some of the trendy spots in Glasgow over the weekend with your weekend off. Alarming to hear that.
Well, you're a celeb, you're a celeb. You've got to get yourself out there and show your face.
I heard you were frequenting the same sort of place that the Scotland team celebrated at on Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah.
Looks like some of them had a good evening.
I know, France will be really concerned tonight, won't they? That's why there'll be so many changes.
That's why I picked a couple of scenes for the videos. I've deliberately not made my team.
Do you want to know the thing is, this is the difference between, you know, like celebs that live life in the fast lane. He's out at the night spots in the city centre.
No, it was afternoon spot.
On his weekend off.
I don't make nights.
I went to Benburb against Clydebank and bumped into Andy Halliday.
Yep.
That's as exciting as it got. See, on my weekend off.
We're so passionate about the game.
If I knew you were going, I'd have come along.
Students of the game.
Years since I've been to Benburb.
Super, what a place. New Tintel Park.
Yeah. A lot of the young Rangers lads used to go out there and loan when I joined Rangers at the beginning.
Changed days. Beat the Bankies 2-0. Hugh Keevans wouldn't have been happy. No. Bankies, half red card early on though.
Good game, but happy.
Not really.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a classic, that's for sure.
That's it. Bum the guys up. Well done.
Right, let's see who's got it right then. The Scotland team. Okay. Who did you go for in goal, Gordon DL?
Clark.
It's Liam Kelly, I'm afraid.
One
to Halliday. Who did you have at right wing back?
Patterson.
You both had Patterson. Correct, Nathan Patterson. Okay, no problem.
We both went Taylor
good.
As well.
Left wing back?
Taylor.
Greg Taylor. Good. So is one of the two up against Mbappe? I've not checked the France team. Hopefully not. Right, good. Okay. Three centre backs. Did you both think Scott McKenna was going to play?
I went Portis, Suter, and McKenna, I think.
I went Hendry, Cooper, and McKenna.
Andy's got all three, Hendry, Cooper, and McKenna at the back three.
He knows, because he came into this office tonight. Come on, we'll have a wee competition. Come on, we'll have a wee competition. He never does that. Right?
We'll see if I get the rest right.
You might not get the rest right, because you were actually similar here on in. You both thought there would be loyalty to Kenny McLean.
Yeah. No?
Yes, he's in there. You thought there would be a chance for Lewis Ferguson to show what he can do. Yes.
He's in.
He is in.
I think we were different here.
Yeah, Gilmore.
You both had Gilmore.
I had Gilmore. Yeah, and I had McTominay.
He plays
right. I had Christie off,
and he had.
I had McTominay.
He had McTominay.
It's McTominay. He's at it, isn't he?
I just didn't know.
Oh, there he's admitted it. I'm just didn't know. He's spoken to somebody.
Let me guess,
tonight.
Is it Che Adams up front?
He stitched you up. He has stitched you up tonight. Che Adams leads the line.
Shanklin's,
I told you it was
the
pace. He was going for the pace against France.
Ah, do you know he come in? Should have known right away. Dazzler, come on, we'll have a wee competition on air. No, even off air. On air.
So that was a really confusing way of me reading the team. So Andy, you might as well, for clarity, tell the listeners, run through that starting 11 since you knew.
So it's Liam Kelly making his Scotland debut. Good on him. Delighted for him. It's Nathan Patterson and Greg Taylor wing backs. The back three of Jack Henry, Liam Cooper, and Scott McKenna. That box midfield of Scott McTominay, Billy Gilmore, Lewis Ferguson, and Kenny McLean with Che Adams up front.
He did that quite well. He could do this job, no bother. I'll go up the road. Mm-hmm. Let's bring in John, who's on the line. What are you thinking about the Scotland squad at the moment, John?
Aye, as I said to Michael there, hi Dazza, hi Andy. What you got? I think front to the back were really good. Back to midfield were really, really good. But I still think they lack a bit up front. And my point would be, this young boy, Ben Doke, he's a real deal, this wee guy. Even a guy like Klopp rates this boy. I'm just hoping he gets a chance next year. And Stevie Clark showed at the Euros the last time he put Billy Gilmore, Nathan Patterson and David Turnbull in his squad and gave him a game. So what do you think, guys? Do you think this young boy would have a chance to be in this squad for next year?
Ooh, can he be the one that forces his way in for the Euros?
I'm with you, John. I spoke about it a couple of months ago. I just think the profile, the type of player he is, he's a match winner. He's someone that can, you know, if Scotland are having an off day, he's the one that can sort of make a bit of magic happen, can beat two or three men, score, create. And without disrespecting anyone, I think there is a couple that have made the last sort of 3, 4, 5 squads that haven't really had any minutes on the pitch. They've not really made any impact through no fault of their own. But I just think when you've got someone of that ability at that age, I think you want to try and give them as many opportunities as you can. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, once this qualification campaign's done, or obviously going into the last two games, that we start to see Bendo integrate within the squad. So he's one that I would like to see be involved.
The next couple of months is going to be so exciting, Gordon, because
I noticed he's not in the 21s. Is there a reason for that?
I don't know if it may. He did play the other night, so he's not playing tonight against Malta, but he did play and scored against Hungary on Friday. Next couple of months going to be exciting, Gordon, because there might be a race for the likes of Ben Doak to make it in. And sorry to bring it down, but there could be heartbreak for guys who've been in so many squads up to this point that do just miss out. So what do you think of John's point?
I agree with what Andy said. All the signs are brilliant for this young lad. Terrific future in front of him. As Andy quite rightly pointed out, if someone like Klopp's your admirer, then you're certainly doing something right. Learn his trade in under-21s. But you said it there, Gordon, it is going to be heartbreak for next year for the Euros, because there have been a lot of loyal players there, a lot of players that have been a part of a massive squad, and the excitement of getting to the Euros in Germany, looking forward to it. Steve Clarke, that's probably going to be his biggest job, since he moved into the hot seat in Scotland, is he'll have to sit down and probably go face to face with one or two guys and probably leave them at home.
What makes you think Ben Doak's ready, John?
Well, I've seen him at Celtic as a kid, you know what I mean? And as I say, I've watched him some of the games at Liverpool, and as I said there, I mean, a guy like Klopp rates a guy, you know what I mean? And he's been getting game time, so I just think, as Andy said, he has a match with him. You know what I mean? He's really, really, I think he's a special kind of player, you know what I mean?
I think, Andy, really? I wonder, does this go in his favour? Because I've seen it actually held against as a strong phrase, right? But we'll try and explain it. That people say, well, Scotland don't play with wingers, so where does Ben Doak fit in? But now we've actually got a tournament to go to. Is it not the case that you're going to take a big squad and actually it'd be good to have some options? So, it's, you know, Ben Doak's not even getting compared to any of the wingers that are in, because we don't have any. So it's almost like maybe just something different to come and unlock a game throughout a tournament.
Yeah, it could be a tactical change within a game if you're needing a goal, maybe playing with more width. And you know, you've seen Steve Clarke use the likes of Ryan Fraser play off Lyndon Dykes before. You know, Ryan Fraser is probably an out and out winger, you would say, and he's played that sort of number 10 role off the striker. You see Ryan Christie's played that role. I can see him with a similar profile playing these type of games, and I've only seen him maybe 2-3 times this year, but every time I've watched him, he's really, really excited me. The first game of the season, Liverpool, they play Chelsea, it's 1-1, and Klopp brings him on for Mo Salah with 30 minutes to go, so I think that just shows how much trust he's got on him. The Scotland 21s game last month, I can't remember who they were playing, but it was one of the big nations,
Spain,
and Scotland 21s were on the back foot for the majority of the game, but the amount of times he was carried them 40, 50, 60 yards up the pitch, creating chances out of nothing, half chances, and he's just someone that I think will really, really excite the Tartan Army. And hopefully he starts to get more first team appearances with Liverpool and progresses his game, but I would like to see him integrate into the squad before the campaign in a couple of years.
What about tonight though, Gordon? It's just a friendly, we've already qualified for the Euros, etc, etc, but what a night for some of those, particularly, I know Andy knows him, he's the captain of your team, Liam Kelly, to get a Scotland debut away in France is an unbelievable night for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it's brilliant. I think also for Lewis Ferguson to come in there, Gordon. I think that a lot of the fans have been crying out for him. But the goalkeeper, look, it's the right decision. It must have been a hard decision, because Clarke and Kelly, it was a 50-50. I went for Clarke, but
yeah, great faith you showed in your own team's goalkeeper there
Look, it was a toss of coin. I didn't know Andy was sitting there with the team that obviously Shanklin had phoned him the way in. But
so in the squad.
But I just think it's a big night for a lot of players, because
will he change the goalie at some point?
Could at half time. Yeah, maybe promised him a half each.
There you go. I'll go. That'll be my prediction.
That's
for tonight.
That's a brilliant prediction.
That's happening.
I wish I'd got
that's
that
happening
one.
At some point.
I think so. And I think it's only right, Gordon. These guys, they're along there. They're part of the squad. They're training. Goalkeeper, it's a hard position, because you're all fighting for one jersey. It's not like you can rotate in there.
It'll be busy tonight, you have to admit.
Oh, no half.
See, for goalkeeper, that's actually not the worst game
goodness
to come into. Have they got a strong squad out of it?
Everybody.
No.
They're genuine.
I heard they were in the French equivalent. I wonder about the weekend as well when they went full strength.
A couple. I'll pick out just a few: Pavard, Camavinga, Griezmann, Tchouameni, Giroud, Mbappe, Dembele.
Wow. Listen, I think we've seen previously Steve Clarke's not just going to hand out full debuts for no reason. I think this is off the back of Liam Kelly having a fantastic 2-3 seasons for Motherwell. It's been part of a few squads, and what it is, it's an opportunity for the likes of Liam Kelly and Lewis Ferguson to
Could you not just have taken the foot off the gas a wee bit?
It's poor, I can't believe it.
Giroud, Mbappe and Dembele and Griezmann.
Listen, if we're going to win,
can't run.
If we're going to win Euro 2024,
I'm not worried about him.
You're going to win Euro 2024. You might need to go through.
Do you know something? I think these are great games. I heard Steve Clarke today.
I'm glad you think so.
No, I do, because I think that, you know, you just don't pick sort of a what you call weaker opposition. Go up against the best and see where you are.
Certainly done that. Scott McTominay is the captain tonight. For what it's worth, well done to him. It's that time of the night already.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Nah, I'm sorry, that's annoyed me. Grow up, France, honestly. Just take your... Anyway, right. It's Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. You have until the news starts in a couple of minutes to get your calls in if you want to play tonight.
Tackle the headlines, 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon Dl are here. It's 01419511025. That is the number you need, so give us a call. Two main subjects dominating tonight. Scotland are playing a friendly in France. Someone wants to tell the France team that it's a friendly, because what a lineup they've put out. Just the front three to give you a taster: Giroud, Dembele and Mbappe. A number of changes for Scotland. Liam Kelly makes his debut in goal. Rear starts for the likes of Greg Taylor, Liam Cooper, Lewis Ferguson. Kenny McLean gets a start as well. So it'll be an interesting matchup in Lille. That one, give us your thoughts. Are you happy to see some of those guys tonight? What are your general feelings after qualification? And we've got more to come from Philippe Clement. First press conference today. What do you make of his first impressions? Give us a call. We'll play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, it is Beat the Pundit time. Let's find out who's playing tonight. It's Billy in Newcastle. How's it going, Billy?
How's it going, lads? I'm good.
Not bad at all. Who have you ever played before, actually?
I've played twice, aye.
Twice? And what's your record like?
I've won one and I've lost one. I beat Gordon, actually.
That wouldn't be hard, to be fair.
I don't think so, Billy. I can't remember you.
Not many
people. Must have been last year, because I wasn't in good form last year, but I'm dynamite.
You're not in good form this year either.
I've been dynamite. Dynamite. It must be the end of August the last time I get beat.
What's that, like 3 games ago maybe?
No, I play nearly every week. I'm on Tuesday, Thursday, every Tuesday, Thursday.
Yeah. Speaking of which, how are you feeling? You've got Andy Halliday for company tonight.
He's a man.
It's two 3 weeks, isn't it?
You and Wilson are no more on a Tuesday.
Great.
Break up. Divorce.
You're not joining me on a Tuesday, are you?
He just floats about, this guy. He's hard to pin down.
See, if you're come Tuesday, you need to up your game, mate. You can't come in with Scotland team and think you're sitting there.
Have you two had a fallout, though?
The smart boy going, have
you and Wilson had a fallout?
Wilson? Not at all.
Oh, you're still together on a Thursday?
We're still together on a Thursday.
Great.
I would never leave him.
Heads, it will be Andy Halliday. Tails, it will be Gordon Dl. And it is heads, it's Andy up against Billy from Newcastle. So we'll give Andy some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. Billy, you know the drill. You're an experienced campaigner. 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know, okay?
Yep.
Your time starts now. What is the name of Liam Kelly's footballing brother?
Pass.
Which former Celtic manager did Philippe Clement play under?
Under Ronnie Dyer.
Who was the last Scotland player to score for the men's team? Max McGinn. Johnson plays for a club in which country?
Austria.
Who's Celtic's next Champions League game against?
Atletico.
How many permanent managers have Rangers had since returning to the Premiership?
Yeah.
Okay, let's bring back Andy. Can you hear us?
Yep.
Same set of questions. Are you ready?
He's a nightmare to sit next to during that, honestly.
See, last week Mark Wilson got a zero, but mostly because he was in his face, acting like an absolute clown.
Right. I'll guarantee you will win this.
Pressure.
Billy's hung up already.
Andy Halliday, your time starts now. What is the name of Liam Kelly's footballing brother?
Sean.
Which former Celtic manager did Philippe Clement play under?
Gordon Strachan.
Who was the last Scotland player to score for the men's team?
It was Wendy Dykes.
Max Johnson plays for a club in which country?
Austria.
Who's Celtic's next Champions League game against?
Atletico Madrid.
How many permanent managers have Rangers had since returning to the Premiership?
Five.
The top scorer in the Scottish Championship plays for which team?
Dundee United.
Who managed Kelly when they beat Celtic in the League Cup final in 2012?
It was Shields, Kenny Shields.
Okay. He just got the last one in. Billy, have you done enough?
No chance.
Billy, hang
up. It's not Dundee United either.
No, it's not. Well, Billy, listen, I don't think it's that straightforward. Let's find out. Liam Kelly's footballing brother is Sean.
Took
he
a
scored a penalty against him for Livy a couple of weeks ago. So 1-0 Andy Halliday. Philippe Clement played under Gordon Strachan at Coventry.
That is the shout of the night.
Did you know that?
I read it earlier.
Did you?
Did you? Yeah. I'm in.
That's, hey, that's where the preparation comes in handy.
Andy Halliday reads throughout the day, you do not.
I'm impressed with that.
I mean, to be fair, right, I don't zoom in too much in case there's any dodgy. But take a wee look at Andy Halliday's notes that he comes in with here. Just because I like not. See, I love that level of preparation. Yeah. Gordon Diehl, yours is an absolute disgrace in comparison.
Mine's is a drawing. They're Mickey Mouse.
So that's why he's got that one correct. 2-0 to Andy Halliday. Oh, yeah. However, no, because Billy knew that John McGinn was the most recent scorer, the 3-0 against Cyprus. Harry Maguire technically scored the most recent goal, but he's not for Scotland.
Well done,
yet.
Billy.
John McGinn.
Producer,
2-1 there. Austria is the club for Max Johnson.
No, Billy's not getting that, is he?
No, he did.
Billy's all right.
Yeah, Billy is all right. And he also knew Atletico Madrid. So Andy still leads by one. How many permanent managers have Rangers had since returning to the Premiership? Warburton.
Right, you should know that. You've done some in
them. Yeah.
Seen some of them often.
Gerrard.
He waved to them.
Van Bronckhorst, Beale, and now Clement, 6. So none of you got it right.
Can he count? Come on,
you can't
surely.
Count the new manager.
He's not managed a game at the league.
You can't count him.
Did you say 5, Billy?
No, I said 8.
Did you say 5?
The questions were written on Thursday night.
Don't worry about that.
That's fine.
The top scorer in the Scottish Championship plays for which team? Here's your clue, right? Only you and I will get this. He was at the Benz against Clyde Bank on Saturday because I saw him.
Was it Brian Graham?
It was Brian Graham.
I know. As soon as I said Dundee United, I knew it was Brian Graham.
And he even had the chance to stretch your legs at the end. Kenny Shields managed Kelly when they beat Celtic in the League Cup final in 2012. So it is a win for Andy Halliday. Hard lines, Billy.
It is what it is.
Unlucky Billy.
Unlucky Billy.
Well, the past two beat the pundits as well.
No, you didn't, Billy. You're kidding on. This is your first phone call. You know it and I know it.
Yeah.
And that performance will be your last.
Listen, he's got your signature on a ball.
No, he's not. Send a photo of that in, Billy, please.
I will, don't worry.
Good man, Billy. Thank you very much, Billy, from Newcastle. 1, 2, 3, 4. Was that a 5?
That was impressive, mate.
5-3 for Andy Halliday. The producers have been harsh because they're saying Billy didn't get John McGinn, but he did. He was making a lot of noises, and then he did dig out John McGinn at the end. I heard him. I'm sure he did.
Doesn't matter. You keep that up, and I'll let you sit here on a Thursday as well.
Okay.
Steve Sneddon says Gordon Diehl says he's dynamite. Just means he's liable to combust and blow up at any moment. Yep, I think that's a fair assessment. Right, Mark in Irvine. How's it going, Mark?
Hey, I am good. How are you? Panel, you good?
Not bad at all. You got Scotland on your mind tonight?
I've got Scotland. I look forward to seeing Greg Taylor showing back here.
Well, that's going to be the reality. I don't know will he play off Nathan Patterson's
side?
Are you just hoping he doesn't? If you're Patterson and Taylor, right, be honest, right? Could both of you have played? And I keep hearing all this stuff about you want to test yourselves against the best. Is that true, or are you hoping Kylian Mbappe stays away?
No, I'm hoping for the first 10-15 minutes he comes to my side so I can say jersey after a game. Then he can go over the other side.
I watched, you remember him in Australia, I played France, it was Nathaniel Atkinson, obviously
half-teammate.
And I thought Nat defended as well as he possibly could have. He just couldn't do it. He was just too quick, far too quick, too strong, too sharp. So sometimes you just got to hold your hands up.
Because Nathan Patterson is really quick.
Very quick, yeah.
But then we're probably about to see what really, really, yeah. really quick looks
oh,
like.
Oh, there's levels of quick and
Mbappe's in a different... Was it Kyle Walker that had the race?
No. Walker did all right against him, Walker, didn't
he? Walker's the fastest thing, he's two good. Legs.
Mark, do you think... I mean, France have gone for it, haven't they? Scotland have made a few changes. Does it matter? It's a friendly. What are you hoping for?
It's a friendly. I hope it's entertaining. Hopefully it's back and forth. There's no reason for it to be that way. But my point was, look, see Steve Clarke, right? See, obviously, look, he worked under Mourinho at Chelsea, didn't he? Prime Mourinho, and took him to third place, beating Celtic and Rangers that season. And see when Ange left Celtic, I was like, Steve Clarke's a man. Get Steve Clarke in. He knows the league. He'll be brilliant. Celtic fans like, no, no chance. No Steve Clarke. He's no good enough. I reckon we've got one of the best European coaches in our national team in Steve Clarke. And I'm not just saying that because he's been off Rashford either.
He's sticking in the local connection, which is absolutely fine. You cannot argue with the job he's done. First man to take Scotland to back-to-back European Championships, either side of getting us to another World Cup playoff. Granted, it didn't go to plan, but still, you know, kind of got there, got close. It's been some job, hasn't it?
Terrific. You can't argue with him. He did come in as normal. You get people that will come in and criticise your style of play. He took his time over his squad. He brought in guys that he knew, some through Kilmarnock from his days managing down there. But slowly, he started forming a really, really good bond of a squad. Good ages, good energy, good players, everyone getting on together. You could see on the pitch that we're all working for each other, and it's brought him terrific success. And he deserves every pat in the back that has come to him, because he came in to do a job, and he's certainly doing it.
Yeah, and listen, we spoke earlier about Philippe Clement and the job he's got at hand and the style of play he wants to then implement. Mm-hmm. We all remember when Steve Clarke first came in, Scotland were leaking goals left, right and centre. And you see, when he came in, fundamentally, first of all, he made them harder to beat. So they were conceding less goals, picking up points, but a lot of people weren't too happy in terms of the style they were watching. But over time, some of the football this team are now playing, the Denmark game springs to mind, the Spain game in this campaign, and even then with Spain last week, I thought defensively Scotland were very, very comfortable and threatened at times going forward. Obviously not as much as we would have liked, but I think over time you've seen him, not only him, but the team grow into the way he wants them to play. Obviously that comes with campaigns, and obviously back-to-back Euros, incredible, but there was no sneaking through the back door this time. Qualifying with two games to spare, and what was a tough group. I think people underestimate how tough group this actually was. And I'm going into this Euro 2024 with a lot of optimism. I really am. I think, you know, the players have got experience of a major campaign now. I think we've still got a lot of players at a good age. And listen, you can't speak highly enough for the
you
job.
You think the group stages, is that where you're going with this? Depending on the draw.
Depends what pot we're in after Gordon Duncan's told us the pots.
Yeah, he's good.
Well,
at the
here's
pots.
Here's the thing. Oh, it's not me. I will pass on to people on Twitter who know much more than me about these things. The ever excellent Scotland's coefficient page on Twitter. If you're into these things, give that a look, because it's great for, you know, our teams in Europe and so on. And there is a strange scenario brewing here where we were all kind of saying, by the way, we could win this group. How good would that be? And you get into pot one, and now it looks like that's going to be pretty tough. Spain have got the same head-to-head as us now because of the 2-0, and they have a superior goal difference. So it looks like Spain will win this group. But it kind of looks like, on paper, being in pot three for the Euros might be easier than being in pot two. So this is, like I say, I've taken this off Scotland's coefficient on Twitter. As it stands, Scotland do drop into pot three. And you're saying, do you want to get up into pot two? But in pot two at the moment is the likes of Albania, Hungary, Slovenia, Romania, Austria, and along with us in pot three, as things stand, Denmark, Netherlands, Italy, Czech Republic and Serbia. So it doesn't feel
that's
like there's crazy. Any advantage to getting into
that's
that
a hot
pot too.
That one, yeah, that's
sure. I'm being that typical Scottish guy that's never happy, but I wanted Norway to beat Spain. I really did, because I still had more than enough confidence over the last two games that Scotland were going to finish off a job, and I thought
a draw would have been nice.
Well, of course, but I think even more so if Norway went and won the game, because I've got so much belief in this team going into the last two games, like Georgia away, Norway at home, that we're going to go through. And I thought that finishing top of the group would have been massive going into the campaign. But it's typical Scottish, isn't it? It'll never happen.
On tonight, what is the sort of, is there a genuine fear there that this turns out to be a sore one? Mark's talking about it being end to end. We'll never forget James McFadden night in Paris. Loved watching videos of that all day. But there have been a few really sore friendly visits to France. Not only has Steve Clarke made changes, but who am I to suggest that there might be a few feeling the effects of some celebrations which saw certain members of the squad spotted out in Glasgow City Centre as recently as Sunday night. This is Tuesday night.
I mean,
you've been there. I know you have.
Oh, I've been there. I've been spotted out on Friday night playing on Saturday. I've got to say, I don't think it will be a sore one tonight. I know when you look on paper, the strength and the quality they've got, I think we've got a good few lads in there, a lot to prove. They're up against it, no doubt in that. But we've seen this before. The one thing that I know about Scotland, and we talk about Steve Clarke, they'll be organised. You know, they'll be
can
very...
Can you be as organised if you're still thinking organized about
you can be as organised as you possibly can,
but
if you get outdone with a terrific bit of skill, then sometimes you hold your hand up a little bit.
Coming up against Mbappe on the back of the Wonderbar Blue Lagoon combo, Andy, you know, is just making me...
Look, it's a friendly for them as well.
It doesn't look like it.
I know, but they're out there getting minute. They're working away, probably. They'll be working on things tonight. Look, these are the kind of games that can basically go anywhere for you, can't it? You could end up with a real, real drubbing, or you could end up saying, look at the sort of performances that some of these players who have been on the fringes have put in tonight.
He's an optimist, I'll give him that.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough task, but I think this squad have earned their trust in these games. They have, and like the Dazzler says, they have showed they can be hard to beat, they can be stuffy. I think making an impact the other way is going to be more difficult, but even look at the team. I think Aaron Hickey and Andy Robertson are obviously a blow. They're in force changes, but the rest of them, I think Lewis Ferguson's deserved a chance. Of course, McGregor and McGinn are going to be blows, don't get me wrong. I think if they were in the starting 11, it is a stronger team. But I still think it's a strong Scotland squad on paper.
Thank you, Mark. It is a good time to call Mark. And he's fairly down that neck of the woods, sort of, not quite. But anyway, Mark is into the hat for the tickets to the races as well, like everyone else does if you pick up the phone tonight. Now, before we go any further, let me give you a bit of advice on this. I know you probably don't listen to everything I say on here. I'm not naive enough to think that is the case. But if you do take one piece of advice on board, listen to this. If your phone goes and you've entered Make Me A Winner, gonna just answer it by saying Make Me A Winner. Another phone call today. It happened again. They said hello and they didn't take home £114,000. Oh, as a result. I mean,
I don't even enter and I'd say Make Me A Winner.
Just to be sure.
Just to be
exactly.
Just in case.
It's a belt.
If my dad phones me, answer saying make me a winner. Just be sure.
It's a belt and braces approach here. We've gone a full week without any winners, so let's forget about it. We move on. We go again, as the footballers say. We've got 116 grand tomorrow and you need to be in the draw. To enter, text YES to 61025. That's YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate, or you can enter at Clyde1.com with online entries costing £2 as well. Or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It's over 18s only. And remember, if you've entered since David won on Wednesday the 11th of October, your entry is still in the draw. You don't need to re-enter. But all the rules for this network competition are online. If you get the call after 3pm tomorrow, answer within five rings, say Make Me A Winner straight away, and try and win that £116,000. Even if it's a withheld number, a caller ID you don't recognise, do the right thing. Get yourself in the draw by texting YES to 61025.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One
ED.
Super Scoreboard.
Bold, I'm bold. Sorry about the interruption. Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are arguing about which food pages to follow on Instagram to give them ideas for what to put
who's
in the air fryer.
Dogs,
honestly, you TikTok Dazzler, how's that going actually? You said a few weeks ago you explained that you're very big into TikTok
addicted now. I love it.
Are you thinking about making your own content though? Because I don't know if you know, Andy Halliday's Lovely ladies, as a successful content creator, as the phrase goes. You get a wee tip or two. We're trying to find an avenue for him to go down.
Yeah,
got what we're thinking. Golf.
I think you'd
wee golf
you'd
page.
Be brilliant on TikTok. I'd be the golf. Definitely.
I might bring more to the table, mate.
No, but golf.
I think there's a lot more in my locker.
The Dazzler golf, it's different to normal golf.
Yeah, like, and like golfing it. And doing something else at the same time.
I think we could go down that road. Especially in the cold. You know what I mean? There could be a lot of good video.
And you say you like your cooking as well, so you can maybe cook on the side.
Yeah, well, I'm hitting an iron up and down the kitchen.
Well, listen, if you've got ideas, we're working on it. It's a project we're all embarking on together this season, so we'll see how we go. Right, let me give you...
Come on, Chris, bring a teaser in.
Let me give you this reminder.
Bring a teaser in.
Producer Chris just entered the studio.
Try sneaking.
Nah, listen, what producer Chris doesn't know is the teaser he's picked for us tonight, I've got a different one.
Oh, have you?
Oh, wow.
Put that in the bin. Scrunch that up. Get ready. There we go. Thank you. 01419511025. Give us all your thoughts on the Scotland team, or maybe more interestingly, the France team to play in that friendly tonight. And Rangers fans, maybe we could go back to that now. What was your first impressions of Philippe Clement? What are you hoping to see immediately? What about the longer term stuff? We'll hear more from him in just a few moments. So get your calls in right now if you can, and let me set this question up first.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
So topical, this question. Could barely be more topical. Thank you to Graham Brunton for sending it in. He wants to know if you can name the starting 11 from... What do we think?
France.
Ugh, honestly... You are sharp as a tack. Scotland.
I'm going Kelly.
Let me finish. No. When Scotland beat France in 2007,
McFadden.
He didn't start. He came off the bench. Nah, I'm just kidding. He's in there. Right, so just a reminder, it's the starting 11 when Scotland beat France in 2007. James McFadden Day, as you may remember it.
Barry Ferguson.
Yes.
Lee McCulloch.
Yes.
Well done.
Jamie Weir.
Oh, go with all the Rangers ones.
Also, he's in the Rangers. I never used to be in international football.
Yeah. You're about,
how old were you when this game kicked off? And you're nailing this.
McCulloch. Yeah. Well done, mate. You're good at it.
One more guess from you, Daz. It's a bit easy for Andy. I'd rather hear your answers.
I'm struggling a wee bit here. 2000 what?
Seven.
Who played in 2007?
I think I've got a prediction. I think you're going to get at some stage. Give me somebody who is 10 years out.
I was
at
going.
Least.
I was going to go.
You're
going to
give us. Well, no, you were not out on the time, but he didn't start.
Did he not?
No.
But it's a Clyde One pundit that did start, wasn't it? Kenny Miller?
No. No? No, he did not.
Right, well, I know...
Naismith?
No.
Gary Caldwell started.
No, he didn't, actually. You're thinking he scored in the home game, but he didn't.
Wow.
Okay, we'll leave it there then. We'll get back to it. And don't forget, fulltime at clyde1.com. That's the address to send your questions in, so please do. Right, let's hear a bit more...
Alan Hutton.
You've been on this show for
I've got
like,
him written down. You've seen my page.
I
here.
Swear I did.
Years.
Did he start? I just want one.
Fine.
There you go.
Just speak when you're spoken to, okay. If you can.
Okay.
Come on. Right, I think we can hear a bit more from Philippe Clement. He was talking about a number of topics today. Let's hear what he had to say on his playing style.
I like dominant football. I want to play dominant football. I did it also with the first team that I was coach or manager. Waasland Beveren was a team who played against relegation in the Belgian league. We played also dominant football with them. In the beginning, it was pushing the players because in the beginning, nobody of the squad believed in that they would it would be possible to do. But I saw that they had the qualities to do it. To play attacking football with a lot of changing of positions, people creating space for other players, but out of a good structure that you don't get too many transitions and that you get stupid goals because you're not thinking about your structure. So out of a structure, attacking football.
Andy is a Rangers fan, and we've got one on the line as well. Actually, he's from Finiston. So what are you thinking, Andy? What's your point tonight?
Hi, how you doing, boys? Guys, brilliant. First of all, well done to Scotland. That's the one of the things that was
well said.
Qualified. I just think that I think the boy Clement needs to get some background staff in.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean, I tried going to the show about 3 weeks ago, and I said I'd love Souness to be there, or you need Davis to be there. But he needs to get the players to start believing in themselves again, especially new signings. And the old school, the players, you know, they just seem to have lost a bit of confidence. So I'm hoping that he can get that back into them, because we have got a really, really good squad.
Graham Souness wouldn't come to be a member of the backroom team, would he?
Well, I don't know. Why not?
Ugh, just, you know, we'll put it this way. He was involved in the recruitment process. That would be quite something. I'll tell you what, Phil, I'll give you the job if you give me the coaching staff. Uh-huh. You know, it sounded like he was certainly discussing a different role previously at Rangers. What do you make of Andy's suggestion?
That'd be interesting to see. Obviously, he's appointed number two. Andy's talking there. Is it time now for Stephen Davis to start concentrating going forward in the coaching side of it? You know, you've got to look at going and doing your badges and getting your qualifications up to date, Gordon. Alex in there as well, knows the club inside out. It'll be interesting. What he'll do is he'll come in and I think he'll give everybody the opportunity to sit down, look at the structure, maybe add one or two more. I think the sporting director is very important if someone's got to be appointed there. And I like the fact that they're talking about that the manager's going to have a big say in that, because I think that is a very important communication between manager and sporting director going forward. They've got to be, you know, singing off the same hymn sheet for me. So I think it's interesting times ahead from Rangers. I'm looking forward to this weekend. I know that Andy quite rightly says, look, he's only had a few days to get in the building. He's still assessing players. He's looking at everything that's happening. The training will be different. Probably times of training, whatever it may be, preparation. But I'm looking forward to see what he's going to bring. And I think that, you know, as when I keep going back to my old teammate, Postecoglou, when he came in, you could see right away that there were going to be changes. I think Rangers fans are looking for the same impact.
Andy in the studio, Andy on the line, thinks Graham Souness in the backroom team. Can you see that?
I can't see it. It'd be interesting, though. Is it the type of offer that if it was put in front of him, could he refuse? But I can't see it. He's been out of that sort of coaching side of the game for a long, long time now. But I said earlier, Stephen Davis is someone that I would like to see still be involved. But it depends. You don't know what Philippe Clement needs as his assistant. Is it Van Hayde? Van Hayder?
Van Hayden.
Van Hayden, is he someone that day-to-day likes to take training? Is he more of a coach's role? Mm-hmm. Is Philippe Clement more of a manager, disciplinarian? So it depends what type of profile of someone in his staff he needs. But, you know, he mentioned about it being important that someone knows the locals, knows the league, knows the building, knows the club. I think Stephen Davis obviously fits that mould perfectly. And I'm the same as Daz. I'm really looking forward to seeing how they approach the game at the weekend, not only in terms of style and formation, but personnel. Is there going to be a couple of changes left field for what he sees early on in training? You know, we've seen a couple of young boys, like I said earlier, being given opportunities in the last couple of games. Does he stick with that? So do you think a lot will be told.
Do you think we're going to see someone else come in that's not in the picture at the moment? Or actually, could that be it? You know, as you say, if that's his real recruitment in terms of backroom staff, Stefan van der Hayden knows him well, if he's the coach, if he's the number two, and then either Stephen Davis or Alex Ray or both are just kind of there anyway, I don't know, or is it an opportunity for a, I've no idea, but I'm just saying, you know, Kevin Thompson or whoever, is there an opportunity for someone else, or might it be similar to what's already there?
It's so difficult to say. In modern day football, now you see so many teams with set piece coaches. So is he want a set piece coach and someone that specialises in that area? So I don't know. It'll be very, very interesting. Obviously, I think it's over the next week or two. You mentioned that you're still going to be working with, you know, Stevie Smith, Alec Ray, guys like that. So who knows if he strikes up a bond with them and he likes how they work and how they approach things. Are they more a full time part of it? It remains to be seen.
Because if nothing else, Alex Ray can put him onto the same barber that he goes to.
Yeah, Alec will look after him. There's no doubt about that. Alec will look after him because Alec knows Glasgow and the club very well indeed. And it will be interesting to see what he eventually decides on with his coaching staff. But the manager's in place. He's got his assistant. I know that you can argue that Postecoglou come in his cell. I like the manager to come in with someone that he's worked with and trusts. and then they sit down, they'll assess the rest of the guys that are there, and it's up to them to show a good, you know, make a good opinion, impression, sorry. And then obviously, if he likes him, as Andy says, you get that bond, you feel comfortable within the situation, then they go forward. And I think everybody's just looking forward to him getting, you know, that suit on Saturday and a game against Tibbs, which is got to be a very interesting game.
It is just talking at this point, Andy. It remains to be seen how it will pan out. But are you liking what you're hearing so far?
I know, too bad, but I keep saying, I just think that, like, Michael Beale, to me, Michael Beale too much on his own. He tried to do this, do that. Well, I heard about under Steven Gerrard, he'd done this. But I think now, this manager coming in, getting some coaches in, getting some Rangers players in, I think we can, listen, we can only get better. That's the way I'm looking at it. We can only get better. And if you can get these players that Michael Beale signed to get up and running, I'm still confident we can do something this season.
Well, we will see. Thank you to Andy on the line. A full-time result from earlier I meant to bring you. It wasn't a vintage result. Scotland under-21s 2, Malta 1. Alex Lowry, a teammate of yours, Andy Halliday, scored a penalty, and Kieran Bowie got the winner. He got 2, didn't he, against Hungary the other night, and got the winner with 10 minutes to go. So there were a few changes for Scotland in that game, but they did get the job done. Speaking of Scotland, your teaser tonight is for you to name the starting 11 when Scotland beat France in France in 2007. Why don't you lot out there tweet me your attempts, because I think some of you will absolutely get this bang on. The guys in here are doing okay. They've got James McFadden. You don't get any credit for that one. Barry Ferguson, Lee McCulloch, Davy Weir, and Alan Hutton.
Scott Brown in there?
Yes.
And Darren Fletcher?
Yes. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Gordon DL are here. It's 0141 951 1025. Still time for you to get your calls in. I've just checked, and Didier Deschamps is still absolutely at it with his France team. It wasn't a joke. He's not decided to change it last minute. It is still Mbappe and Giroud and Dembele and Griezmann, etc, etc, against a half-cut Scotland B team over France.
I know who I'm betting.
Great. We'll see how it goes. It could be a famous night, and a future teaser on the show could be name the Scotland team 11 from that famous night in the friendly, because tonight you've got name the Scotland team from the 2007 McFadden night. So obviously McFadden started. Barry Ferguson, Lee McCulloch, Davy Weir, Alan Hutton, Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher. I'll take one more each.
Craig Gordon.
I suppose technically got an assist for the goal, didn't he? He just punted it long. McFadden did the rest.
Was Paul Hartley playing that team?
Yeah, at that. Is he right? I'm sorry to do this right, but you know what I'm going to say. That just strikes me as the type of answer that somebody's texted you. And I know I say it every week. I just don't have that much faith in you.
Well, I wouldn't have got that.
I think that's a bit sort of a cruel. I'm taking that hurtful tonight. I don't think I'll be able to sleep after.
But did you receive a text?
No. You can look at my texts if you want.
No, absolutely not. Shout. Absolutely not. But yeah, Paul Hartley, we'll get the rest before the end. Do you know who's been back on? And I should have said, because it was ages ago. Remember Billy on Beat the Pundit?
Ah, Billy from Newcastle.
And Andy tucked him away, and you said, Billy, you've not been on before. And I said, send us a picture of your signed ball. He sent it about 30 seconds later. He obviously had a point to prove, and he did. He sent it like straight away.
I must have been Walsh, and he beat you. Wouldn't he beat me? He wasn't very, very good.
You have your moments, though, to be fair, don't you? Mm. Do you think he's listening?
Billy?
No.
Walsh?
Do you think he's sort of jealous, if that's jealous the best way to describe it? Just of this blossoming relationship that we've got here. Knowing that he's going to have to wait till Thursday now to...
I've made a lot of people on this show, Andy. Just you stick shoulder to shoulder with me.
What, as in because they look good next to you?
I'll take all the stick. You just take all the credit.
I'm not sure if that's how what...
I'm surprised he's not been in touch, I must admit. I feel like he's not
taking this
well.
Oh, he must be working. He must be grafting the
lad.
His
new job. Are we allowed to reveal what it is, or will we let him do that?
I think you should let him break the news and disappoint maybe a few thousand supporters.
Because there was a bit of speculation last week when we said he had a new job We didn't say what. We thought maybe he'd got the Rangers gig.
Nah, I've watched some coach.
But now we know that it's Philippe Clement, and Mark was cruelly overlooked. So we'll see. We'll speak to him later on in the week.
That'll be a guy that'll be recovering from his weekend. Wilson.
What was he doing?
Oh, every 40. Oh, I chucked him off my
Madonna.
Instagram. I couldn't. Oh, Ricky Gervais. Oh, here's me and Madonna. Here's me and the train. Here's me. Oh, my God. Here's me standing next to the Thames. Just bore the life out of that guy.
He's a social butterfly. I think we'll have time for more calls if we can squeeze some in. So get your thoughts over to us, please. Building up to kickoff. In Lille, just as a matter of habit, I keep going to say Paris. This game is in Lille, of course, tonight. So Scotland, just to recap, Liam Kelly in goal. It is a back three involving, remind me, Jack Hendry, Scott McKenna, Liam Cooper. Scott McTominay's the skipper in there with Billy Gilmore. Lewis Ferguson gets a start, rewarded for his good club form. And Kenny McLean, the man who saved the day in Oslo, plays. And of course, usual sort of wing backs, if you like, system wise, but a bit of a change. Nathan Patterson and Greg Taylor, and Shea Adams is the man up front. And the France team, full of them, absolutely full. Pavard, Camavinga, Griezmann, Tchouameni, Giroud, Mbappe, Dembele, to name but a few. So I don't know what on earth they're up to tonight. No need for it whatsoever. Hopefully they all have an absolutely miserable evening. But we will see. Let's bring in Andy, another one. It's like the name of the show tonight. This one's in Clydebank. Hi, Andy.
You doing, boys? All right. How are you all tonight?
All good in here. How are you?
Aye, not too bad. Good. Just in. Running about mad, trying to sort out animals, cats, dogs and everything. But that's another story.
Like professionally or for a hobby or what?
Just family. Everybody's busy and I'm the sort of cat and dog wrangler of the day.
Right. You're like the pet whisperer.
Well, I don't
know. I like it.
Listen, I'll tell you what it is. What do you think our chances are when we get to the Euros and we're in the Euros now? What is our chances in the actual group stage? Is it possible that we're actually timing it right, that we could actually do something in the group, no matter what group we get? We've actually timed it perfectly. What do you think?
Go on then.
I think a lot of it comes down to the luck of the draw, unfortunately, and it's why I was so keen on seeing a Norway victory the other night, because I just thought going into pot one, which potentially we could have done if that was the result. I do think you're then, you know, on the edge of a favourable draw, and we've seen that. Listen, for me going into this group campaign, I thought Norway was as difficult as you could have got for pot three. I thought we obviously got the victory against them away from home. Spain, we all know how good they are and how well we performed against them at home and competed away as well. So I think you've got to get lucky. Don't get me wrong. And as Gordon pointed out to us earlier, if we do end up in that pot two scenario, you're then looking at a Holland or an Italy or a Denmark in pot three, and then it obviously becomes a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed we stay away from as many big boys as we possibly can, but we've shown we can compete at that level.
Building ourselves up for a massive
fully. I think it's a bit like when the club sides go through to the Champions League or whatever. It's just so hard to predict without knowing the groups. What you would say, though, is the format of the Euros, remember, it's the top, I think it's the top two, so six groups, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I think the top two in each go through, and then the four best third places go through. So again, if the draw isn't horrendous to you, you certainly should be aiming for that.
Look, I think we're just so confident the way the guys are playing and what Steve Clark's achieved. And you look down the line, will there be one or two surprises in that squad? Like, will young Ben Doak be there as well? To add to that, he's got another few months under his belt playing with Liverpool, training, getting a bit of experience into the big squads. So hopefully, and plus the fact you've got to look at, hopefully our key players are fit. You know, you've got to look at injuries and stuff like that as well. But I like the fact that we're at the Euros, we've qualified with two games to spare, and we're playing with confidence. We're beating some of the big names. It'll be a difficult one tonight, but we're beating some of the big names. We're taking a lot of good scalps. And we're growing very well as a team. So I can see the reason why people are now thinking, yeah, we want to do more than just get into the group stages and then say we've had a good Euros. We want to progress.
Andy and Clydebank, what did you make of the achievement then of getting qualification secured so early?
Well, for me, I'm 50-year-old, so I remember vaguely the 82s and the 80 and all these other things we'd done amazingly back in the day. And then when it came to the mid-90s, to the nows, we weren't very good. But now we're starting to get the ball rolling again. I think it was Roger last night that was talking about something that was quite important. You know, who really would want to play us? You know, we're getting to a stage now where no matter what big team it is or whatever you get, who really wants to play us? Because we are playing very well at the moment and it's fully deserved.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can be that sort of one that maybe is still a bit underestimated, but, you know, teams don't want to come up against. Sorry, I got a little bit distracted there in case you couldn't tell, because there's going to be a 10-minute delay to kick off tonight's game to allow extra chance for Liam Kelly and the Scotland back three to warm up. No, it's actually just to allow fans to enter the stadium. It's not nothing
to let Didier Deschamps tell us his real team.
Yeah, exactly. We'll give you an extra 10. Don't take it any further. But yeah, fan to enter the stadium. Is it particularly busy? I don't know.
Must be.
Strange one. But there we go. An extra 10 minutes. Thank you very much to Andy in Clydebank there. So we're almost really coming up to the end of tonight's show. So let's round off the teaser then. We're looking for the starting 11 from when Scotland beat France in France in 2007. James McFadden night, if you like. So he scored, obviously. You've given me Paul Hartley. Thank you to whoever sent that in to Gordon DL. Barry Ferguson, Lee McCulloch, Davy Weir, Alan Hutton, Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher and Craig Gordon. How many left?
I don't know.
Two. Is Christian Daly one?
No. But your defence needs work.
I've got one.
Well done to Mark and Irvin. He is the winner of the Air Racecourse competition. Well done, Mark. We'll do that again tomorrow night.
I've got one.
Go on in.
And you've got to share.
Oh, hurry up.
Steve McManus.
Yes, Stephen McManus. Sure. Well done.
Okay. Right, the last remaining players between two for left back.
Who?
Now it's would either, be the time to
it's
give us
either them. Graham Alexander or Gary Naismith. So I'll let you pick one of them.
I'll go. Seeing he gets sacked, Graham Alexander.
So because he got sacked at the weekend.
Yeah, because he's having a bad week. So I'll just go Graham
Alexander.
So we're
going to give him a shout out, give him some much needed support.
Yeah, Graham, if you're listening, we're behind you. Graham Alexander.
It's got to be wrong because you're saying all this.
Lock it in. Move on.
Correct.
Yes, that's that.
Graham Alexander. Thank you, Andy Halliday, and thank you, Gordon DL. Thank you for listening, for watching. Keep keeping us company. We always enjoy it. Throughout the week, whether it's international or back to club football, don't forget you can catch up on the show wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to the YouTube channel as well if you would rather see these guys, particularly at the start of the show when they accidentally kept playing random sound bites.
Brilliant.
In our ears tonight. There was a bit of technical difficulty, so thanks for your patience throughout that. And we are back tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Charlie Mulgrew from 6. So make sure you join us and stay right there. Callum Gallagher is up next.